You haven't been with us for a Christmas season. We celebrate Advent, okay? And so every year about this time, we have the four Sundays leading up to Christmas. We set aside whatever it is that we are doing, and right now, of course, that is Romans. We set it aside for a bit, and we focus our time on Advent. And I'll explain why we do that. I imagine that the majority of you are like myself and my family, and from somewhere around the time of Thanksgiving, maybe for some of you a few weeks before that, for the ones of us that have self-control, the day after Thanksgiving, we started preparing for Christmas. I'm just kidding. My mama and my grandmother and my family, we prepare beforehand, and it's wonderful. But for us, we've been getting ready for Christmas and preparing. And you heard what Noah and Pam said a few minutes ago. We prepare for, you know, whether it is gifts that we're going to give to those that we love. We prepare our houses. I know for our family, that's a big deal. Day after Thanksgiving, we go to that majestical forest that is Lowe's, and we pick out the best tree that we can. This year, we went for a 10-footer. And so it's pretty awesome. Fills up our living room, but we prepare our houses for Christmas. For a lot of you, you're going to be preparing your schedules. You're going to be traveling and going from house to house. You're going to be having parties and events and things that are going to take place that all has to do with this Christmas season. But if I was to bring up and ask you individually and talk to you about Christmas, and that's all I said, even though Christmas certainly has Christ in the word, there are things that we associate with Christmas and stresses that come with Christmas that honestly, for a lot of people, they almost get tired of it before it's even here. And so, like, if I'm in a conversation with somebody, I say something about Christmas, and they say, man, honestly, I'm just ready for it to be over. Man, I'm just about spent out right now. You know, man, I just don't know if I really want to travel this year. I don't really know if I want to do this. And it seems like there are some negative comments connected to it. And can I just say, I'm not even going to be negative about you making negative comments, okay? That's just your personal feelings. But my point is this, is that sometimes when we say Christmas, we have, you know, an abundance of things that go through our mind and feelings and thoughts that we have about it. That is why at Alberta Baptist, we celebrate Advent. Advent means coming. And so when we talk about Advent, we're referring to, we're going to look back to the first Advent when God was born in a manger, when the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We're going to look back at when Jesus was born on this earth, and then we're going to look forward to when He comes again in the second Advent. And when we do that, in the midst of all this other preparing that we're doing, Advent helps to prepare our hearts for Christmas. And so that's why we celebrate Advent here at Alberta Baptist. And so the way we're going to do that this year, it's going to be three of us communicating this year. It's going to be myself, and KJ is going to be next week, and then Pastor Keith will be later in the month. But we're going to take time from the book of Luke. And so if you want to go ahead and be flipping there, Luke chapter 1, we're going to be in Luke, either chapters 1 or 2, looking at some of the obvious places that you would go when you're talking about Christmas and the Christmas narrative. Today, we're going to look at one of my favorite people in all of the Bible. It's when he was a baby, and you're like, are you talking about Jesus? Seriously, I'm not actually. I'm talking about John the Baptist. John the Baptist, J to the B, okay? We're going to look at him and where he fits into the Christmas story and how his life and ministry, and in this case, a prophecy, is going to help lead us and guide us and, I believe, prepare us for Christmas. John the Baptist, when I think of someone who, you know, you're talking about preparing for Advent, he helped maybe as much as anyone prepare for Christmas. He was the one that was called in the womb, filled with the Spirit from even within his mother's womb, to grow to be the one that would be the prophet that would prepare the way for Jesus Christ, to prepare the way for the first advent. And so what we're going to do is we're going to look at a prophecy about him. It's actually a beautiful word spoken over him by his father about his life and ministry, his role. And we're going to see how that text is going to help us today be more prepared for this Christmas season. And so let me pray for us, and then we're going to read God's word and begin our time. Father, we love you so much, and we thank you for your word. Lord, we ask that you would give us eyes to see it and ears to hear it today. Lord, most importantly, God, may we rest in and bathe in and live in and walk in your gospel. May we believe it today. May we receive and rest in the truth that you love us and that your son has come and made a way for us to be brought near to you. Lord, thank you for the love that you have for us in Christ Jesus, our Lord. We pray these things in his name. Amen. Amen. I want you to look with me at the end of Luke chapter 1. And like I said, there's so much that goes into this story and that we would love to another time talk to you about. But for our time today, this is John the Baptist's dad, Zechariah. And he is filled with the Holy Spirit, and he is prophesying, or he is speaking over his son. And just as a side note, man, may that be the case for us parents in the room, that we would, filled with the Spirit of God, be able to speak blessing and hope and calling over our children. This is a dedication for John the Baptist. And so just imagine this sweet little baby there and his dad just speaking over him the calling of who the Lord has called him to be, who he's raising him up to be. Here's what the word of the Lord says. This is Luke chapter 1, verse 76 through 79. He says, "And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High." And I'll just stop there and highlight this. It had been hundreds of years since there had been a prophet of the Most High. Hundreds of years. So this was not only good news for this family, this was good news for all people. He says, "A new child will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways." And this morning, as we see John the Baptist and his calling for him to help prepare the people, and just work with me here, prepare their hearts for Christmas. I believe that the Lord can use the same text today to help us as we look to the first advent and we look forward to the second advent when Jesus Christ comes again, that we can use this word to prepare our hearts also for Christmas. I'll read the whole text now, starting verse 76 through 79. "And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." And so number one, if you want to pull out your outline there, Advent prepares us to grow in the knowledge of salvation. Advent prepares us to grow in the knowledge of salvation. Listen, Keith and I know KJ feel the same way coming here next week to bring God's word. We desire, as John was called to do, we desire to give you the knowledge of salvation. We desire to give the knowledge of salvation to his people, as John the Baptist was called, that you may grow in it, that you might rest in it, that you might bathe in it and live in it and walk in it. And we'll see today, go out with it to give to others. In all of the noise of this holiday season, and when I say noise, there's a lot of good noise that happens. In all of the things that takes place this holiday season, let's take time to prepare our own hearts by looking back to God's coming to this earth and look ahead to when he will come again. My prayer for us is that we will grow in the knowledge of his salvation and that his word, as we do this, will bring great humility and expectancy, excitement, wonder, and joy into our lives. Because we have been transformed more into the image of Christ as we have rested more in his glorious gospel of grace. I want you to remember and write this down. This is just a phrase that you need to have on your paper today. The gospel of Jesus is not good advice. The gospel of Jesus is good news. The gospel of Jesus is not good advice for you to take with you. It's good news to be proclaimed over you and for you to receive and rest in. It's not a list of what we can do to get right with God, but instead it's news given to us of how God has done something in and through his Son that we may be made right with him. I want to share for you a couple of prayers that Paul prayed over the church at Ephesus that we want to be praying over this church body. I join in the prayer that I would be united with you as we grow in the knowledge of our salvation. But I want you to hold your place in Luke and flip over to Ephesians and man, pray this for the church body. Pray this for your home, for yourself. Ephesians chapter 1, we're going to look at verse 15. Paul says, "For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation," here it is, "in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he's called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and he seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places." I want to be praying that for you and for my family and for myself, that I would grow in my knowledge of who I am in Christ and what he's done for me and what he's done for you. Look at chapter 3 of Ephesians, starting in verse 14. "For this reason," Paul says, "I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have the strength to comprehend with all of the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth," and here it is, verse 19, "and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all of the fullness of God." Listen, the season of Advent, if we look back to Christ's birth and we look forward to his return and we think of the implications of both of these events, we will grow as Paul is praying that we would grow right here. We'll understand more about how broad and how high and how deep his love really is. So number one, I want us to see that Advent prepares us to grow in the knowledge of salvation. Here's another thing I want you to write down and write it underneath point number one there is this, is that Advent highlights our sin. Advent highlights our sin and showcases God's love. I'm going to say it one more time. The season of Advent, as we look back to his birth, we look forward to his return, highlights our sin and showcases God's love that he has for us. And think about it this way. We were so lost in darkness, so crushed and marred by sin. And the Bible tells us, even so rebellious in our own nature, that the Word had to become flesh and dwell among us. Christ said that he came in the first Advent to seek and save that which was lost. The Apostle Paul said, one of my favorite verses in all of Scripture, that Jesus Christ came into the world, and yes, my friends, the first Advent, he came into the world to what? To save sinners. Hallelujah. He came into the world to save sinners, of whom Paul says, he says, I'm the foremost. I join with my man Paul in that statement. Advent highlights how bad our sin is and how great our need for salvation really is, while at the very same time showcasing how loved we are by God and how beautiful we are to him. If I could, I want you to leave every single week. I want you, every time you're here, I want you not only to hear that you're a sinner, but I want you to hear that you're loved. I want you to not only know what you've done, but I want you to know who you are in Christ and who you can become in him and his gospel. Listen, the first Advent gives us a glimpse into the depths of our sin, but also a glimpse at the heights of his love, his grace, and his mercy towards sinners like us. Joseph gets word, and you remember this, as he's talking to the angel Gabriel. He gets word about his betrothed, that the baby that is in her womb will be named Jesus, a name that means to save, because Joseph is told by Gabriel that Jesus will save his people from their sins. Church, we need Jesus. We need Jesus. And if we don't realize that, then the first Advent has very little meaning to us. If we don't really believe that we need Jesus, I don't know how fast our heart will beat with longing anticipation for him to return. And I think we can be at different places in the room. I think for some, maybe anticipation is very low. But my friends, you're a child. And the Lord will work with you and spend time with you and speak with you and grow you, so that your heart will beat faster and my heart will beat faster because of the knowledge of salvation that the Lord is speaking by his grace into our hearts. So right now, maybe if you're honest, maybe your heart's not beating that fast as you look back, and maybe it's not beating like you wish it would for his return. But oh, let's pray that the Lord would grow us in the knowledge of our salvation, that we may desire him and long for him as the Lord wills. To take the way that I want us to do this, I think we can walk straight down this passage, but I want you to think about it a particular way as we walk down the page. And here's what we're going to do. I want you to imagine that we're opening up a present, okay? We're opening up a gift. And let's say that the gift, we can call it salvation. This is the knowledge of salvation. This is the experience that can be ours as we open it up and take the gift and cling to it and hold it and rest in it. I want you to imagine that we're opening up a gift and we're going to take out parts of it. We're going to open it up and we're going to bring in new knowledge. And it may be something that you've known for years in your head, but today we're going to bring truth to the table that we may dine. You understand? That we may eat. We may take it in. The first gift I want us to open is this. As we have taken the lid off, I want us to open up the gift of forgiveness. Open up the gift of forgiveness. Look there at our text. It says in verse 77 that John the Baptist, that he was to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins. In the forgiveness of our sins. And so the first thing, we need to open up forgiveness. And understand this. Listen, if you have believed in Christ, like the one that came, the first advent, he was born, and he, of course, lived, and he died on a cross, and he rose from the grave. If you have placed your faith in his finished work on the cross, that he died in your place for your sin. If you believe, then here's what the Bible tells us, that you're forgiven. That your sins are forgiven. You must hear that and believe it. If you don't, you'll constantly have this Christian walk that looks like just trying to constantly ask him to forgive you again. Trying to believe that he really does care and that he really does forgive you and that you're not as bad as you, think you are. And the reality is this, I think we're worse than we really imagine. I think we're worse than we think we are. And that's the beauty of grace. And that's the beauty of his forgiveness. I think we're worse than we think we are at every stage of our life. And yet his love is greater and his grace is deeper. And so like when we grow in forgiveness and when we learn to rest in it, it means this is I hear his word and I hear him say, there's no more condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. There's no more judgment. I hear at the end of chapter 8, there's no more separation for those in Christ Jesus. And I believe it. And when I do that, that means I'm resting in his forgiving grace. Now, we've said this many times in the room, but this is along the lines of, this is the doctrine of justification. But I like to say it something like this. The doctrine of justification, as I have believed on Christ, this truth holds that I'm forgiven. And I can say it this way. In 10,000 years, and a lot of you could finish the sentence for me. In 10,000 years, I cannot be more right with God than I am today in Christ. Like there's a lot more transforming that's going to take place with my life, with my body, with all those things. There's a lot of things that are going to happen as far as me growing into the image of Christ. But in terms of my seat, it's secure. My position is done. I am in Christ. And if I'm in Christ, I'm forgiven. I'm right with the Lord. And so if we want to really open up the gift of forgiveness, we've got to believe in his grace. We've got to believe it. We've got to cling to it and rest in it. This is grace. It's a gift. No man can boast in it. It's a free gift given to all in Christ. Church, we're forgiven. What we've done in the past, what we do in the moment, what we'll do in the future, in Christ Jesus, we're clothed with forgiveness and righteousness. The greatest way for you this Advent season to rest in forgiveness is to know who you are as a child of God. To know who you are as a child of God, to rest not only in justification, but in adoption. That you're the child of a loving father He loves you so much that he gave his son, that his son was born in a very humble place in Bethlehem, that he might come to save sinners, of whom we are the foremost, and welcome us into the family of God. I don't know what kind of earthly father you have had. I have a wonderful earthly father, and I seek to be a godly, loving father to my kids. But if I want my kids personally to feel secure and safe, it's not just to tell them they're safe, it's for me to secure them. It's for me to hold them. Advent, as we look back and we see Jesus Christ, we see the baby in a manger. We look through the cross as he dies in our place, and we look through that to a day that hasn't yet come, when he will come again and make all things new. When we look at this Christ and we see what he's doing, and we understand the love that he has for us, the love that our Father has in sending his Son, it will be as he's holding us. That's where security, that's where rest will come. So Alberta Baptist Church, may we grow in the knowledge of salvation as we first rest in forgiving grace. Number three, not only rest in forgiving grace, but bathe in the tender mercy of God. Bathe in mercy. I think the way for us to consider this first, let's read what the text says. It says that John's job was to prepare the way for the Lord. How? By giving the knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of our God. I don't know where each of you sits. You know, I don't know where you are. I don't know where you are in your head. From counseling experience, from personal experience, from everything that I know and that I believe about pastoring a church at this point, it's this, is that there are people that sit before me that you may know that God is a God of mercy, but you don't feel like he's merciful towards you. Simply because you don't feel like it. And my friends, I want to, can I join you in the struggle there? As your pastor, I can be honest with you. There are times I've struggled with feeling the mercy of God. But as we look back to the first Advent, and we see him come, and we see him in the manger, we watch his life, we see the cross, and we look through the cross to when he comes again to make all things new, we can have tons of questions. We can have all kinds of things that we're battling with in our head. But the one question that we need not struggle with is, does God care? Because I believe his birth, his life, his death, his resurrection and his coming again proves to us with an exclamation point that God cares. God has compassion. He's a God of mercy. It's not that we have done anything to deserve his love. He just loves us. He loves us. I love how Tim Keller says it. He loves us because he loves us. It's not because we're necessarily lovable. It's certainly not because we're likable all the time. And when I think of God's grace, I think of God's mercy, this echoes so loud in my brain as I read God's word. It's this, is God knows everything unlikable even about me, and yet he still loves me no matter what. He loves us. Man, bathe in the mercy of God, the tender mercy of God. Maybe you have a very harsh view of God. Man, may the first Advent, may the cross, May his coming again, may that change the way you view the Lord. He is certainly a God of wrath, and he certainly punishes sin. But don't miss the mercy and the kindness and the love of God. As yes, our sin is so bad that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and yet we're so loved that Jesus died in our place. Man, bathe in the tender mercy of God. Fourthly, not only do we want to grow in the knowledge of salvation as we rest in his forgiving grace and bathe in his mercy, but number four, Advent prepares us to live in light, to live in light. And this is where we can get real, real quick, okay? I'm going to bring up last Advent season. We were preaching through Isaiah, and one of the most meaningful messages for me all year was one that I remember studying. I remember when the Lord really led me through it. I remember as he was kind of giving me the direction, and it's from Isaiah 9. And the way we discussed it was this, is we talked about the reality of darkness. Just how dark the world really is. And sometimes I think we want to fool ourselves to thinking that, you know, there's just nothing but just full of light and everything's good and great. But the reality is there's darkness all around us. The sermon was there's darkness around us, there's darkness behind us, darkness before us, and darkness within us. I don't know if you remember that. You may not remember the sermons like we do, and that's okay. But here's where I'm going with it. This Advent season, for us to grow in living in light, part of it is we got to acknowledge the darkness. For most of us, I think this is a struggle that we go through often where we look around, and maybe you've been there before, and some of you are going to be like, man, our pastor, man, he's a down dude, okay? Like, I'm not, but I do want to be real with you. There are times that I feel kind of cramped by the darkness around me. You can't look at the news. You can't get on Facebook. Like, you can't just hang out. Amen. No, seriously, listen, there's going to be something. Somebody's done something to someone. Someone has committed an offense that you didn't expect them to commit. There seems to be corruption everywhere. And we look and there's just darkness all around us. For some of you, it's not just that. It's we think about something that's taking place, the darkness behind us. The darkness behind us. Something that I have done, maybe something that was done to me. The darkness behind us. I can't move past it. I can't see good anymore because of the darkness around me or the darkness behind me. I'm stuck thinking about the darkness that's sure to be before me. I don't know if we have anybody in the room that struggles with anxiety, but that's pretty much what that is. I'm looking before and I'm just expecting darkness. Probably because of the last part, the darkness within us. That we know and God knows. But sometimes our mind and our heart is really like. And the darkness, the war that has taken place. And listen, for us who are walking in darkness, people, we need to hear God's word. Isaiah 9:2, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. Micah 4:2, which is really what the prophecy here in Luke 1 is looking back to. Micah 4:2 says, but for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness, and that's S-U-N, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall. Isaiah 60, 1 through 3, the word of God says, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you, and nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Luke chapter 1, where we are today. John's job to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of God. Listen, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high to give light to those who sit in darkness. For those you sit in the darkness that was around you, that was behind you, that's before you, and that's within you. For us that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, knowing that the reality of death, it hangs wherever we go. My friends, we have one that was born, and yes, Christ our Lord in the manger, who he lived. He died on a cross. He defeated death. He defeated darkness. He rose from the grave victorious over it. One day he will come again, the second advent, and he will totally remove it. He'll remove all darkness. He will remove death itself. The gospel is not good advice. The gospel is good news. It's good news. Now we can walk in this light. The light of who Christ is and what he's done, who we are in him and what he will finally do. As we walk in or live in light, and Advent prepares us for that. Let's think about number 5, that Advent also prepares us to, as we live in the light, listen, to walk in peace and sure hope. Look, I don't want to get you too excited and get you checking your phones right now, because I'm sure somebody knows if we're in or we're out. Are we out? Are we in?
We're in.
Woo! Okay. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. All right. Woo! Okay. All right. We're done. All right. Sorry. All right. All right. We're done. We're back. Back to reality, okay? Hey. Look. Hey. It's a great sport. It's not a great God, okay? Just hang in there. All right. Woo! Oh, yeah. All right. Okay. So, we're done. Come back. All right. I need you back. Okay. As I was thinking this morning about this hope, I thought about that table and those people that we don't know, but we've been praying for, okay? We don't know them, who they've been sitting around that table, and they're thinking about all our flaws, and they're looking at our resume, and they're talking about the things that we've done and accomplished and tried to accomplish, and the things that we've stunk at and the things that we've done well. And we're just resting and hoping that they let us in, and praise God they did, okay? All right, but listen, all right, that's not, listen to me, seriously, that's not the kind of hope that we're talking about in this gospel. Seriously, bring it in. That's not the kind of hope we're talking about. The kind of hope that we're talking about is not maybe the table discussion, maybe, you know, the Trinity's hanging out talking about all the things we've accomplished and what we've done, and maybe they'll see that we had, you know, more good than flaws. Maybe that's how we'll get in. That's not the way it works. The Lord, we've already said, listen, he knows everything unlikable about us, all of our flaws, and he took it on himself so that we could be made perfectly right with him. And that's a sure hope, not only for us, but in what he's accomplishing, not only when he came and died in our place, but what he will accomplish when he comes again. And it's not things that we're just hoping will happen, that we're just like, maybe he'll do this. It's a sure reality for the Christian that God will do the things that he promised. He'll do what he promised. And when we focus on Advent, Advent will prepare us to be able to walk in the peace and in the sure hope of his word. No matter what it is that we're going through, we're almost finished, we're almost done. But listen, what we believe about the realities of the first Advent and the certainty of the promises made to us in connection to his coming again, his second Advent, will have everything to do with how we walk and how we live in our present circumstances. No matter if it's times of happiness or times of suffering, what we believe about the Lord and his promised word has everything to do with how we walk. Advent reminds us that God is with us and he's willing and able to guide us, to go with us through anything that we face. If the Lord would come and if the Lord would die for us, we can know that the Lord will provide what we need. We know that he will. He'll be with us no matter what. We can know he would never mislead or misguide us as maybe we've been misled or misguided by others. The Lord is not like that. He loves us no matter what, no matter when, and no matter where. And he's able to bring perfect peace into our life. We can know that Advent prepares us to walk in peace and sure hope. And lastly, I want you to see that as Keith and I and as KJ, as we've been called to do what we're doing, like what I've been doing today, to give you, to take God's word and to give you the knowledge of the salvation to his people. That's exactly the calling that all Christians have. So as we've been looking at all these things that we desire for Advent to prepare in us, that we can grow and that we can rest and that we can bathe and live and walk, listen, also so that we may go. Lastly, I believe Advent prepares us to go out ready to give the knowledge of salvation to his people. You're going to be in places over this next month that maybe you're not in as often as you ought to be. You're going to be around family and friends and coworkers in environments that are maybe different than normal, and with the opportunity to show and to share with them, to provide, to give, to extend the message of hope that you've received, and to invest in people with the good news of Jesus Christ our Lord. Church, may Advent, and as we study God's word and look back at his birth and we look forward to his coming again, may our hearts be prepared for this Christmas. Father, we thank you for your word.